Hello, this is Climate and Community, Maine Voices for Action, with a Climate to Thrive. This five-minute weekly program will illuminate stories of climate courage, solutions, and resilience-building action, with a focus on communities leading the way right here in coastal Maine.
I'm your host, Wilson Hames. This week on Climate and Community, we are circling back to a conversation we began with Isi Muniz. Isi is a rural youth organizer with Just Me for Just Us, also known as JMJU, who began a program called Designing the Future during her final year at College of the Atlantic. Isi had run several iterations of the program throughout Hancock County prior to the most recent program, which took place in Deer Isle.
It all started with a teacher at Deer Isle High School attending the previous Designing the Future iteration on Blue Hill. And she loved that experience so much that she reached out to us and she was like, you have to bring this to our school. And from then, what followed were a lot of months of talking. And like I said, alongside the local community, understanding who are the people that would be best fit to be in this project.
Isi went on to describe who came together to collaborate to craft solutions to local climate resilience challenges, like how sea level rise is impacting their community.
The high school principal and other staff really helped us shape the whole vision of what they wanted and what the community wanted, having the whole high school involved with 95 students, 45 faculty members, and other students from College of Atlantic. And then we were partnering with Just Me for Just Us and Healthigadia, the Island Heritage Trust, the municipality in Stonington, the Gulf of Maine Research Institute, and many other partners. We launched the project in November, and then the students work on their specific site locations for the next 3 months. And then we wrapped up everything in March with a community event where the work of the students, which was site-specific, looking at climate change impacting that specific location, and their proposals that they develop alongside different professionals and specialists, whatever they created, they presented it in March. And the presentations were absolutely great.
I asked Isi how the launch set the stage for the months to follow of deeper inquiry into climate solutions. And since designing the future is a constant process, how did the program conclude?
We had keynote speakers, and then we had all the students divide in 5 different groups. So they chose one of the 5 locations. And then after the keynote speakers and the launching of what the next 3 months was going to look like, they left the school and then they went to visit their sites and connected with local partners that were somehow related to those specific sites. And often it was people who either live nearby who could tell them firsthand what that experience was for them, what happened in that event. And then bring up what are the challenges moving forward and what are some of the areas that they would like to see some improvement. And that was the first day. And then from then on, the high school kept hosting different speakers in their assemblies and students kept learning about different aspects of not only like the winter storms, but like climate change and climate justice overall. They also learned different tools that they could use. And now that's when we started connecting with different scientific fields or data management and analysis. And then as the months kept progressing and the students kept going back to their sites to collect data and trying to synthesize everything they're learning into a proposal, towards the end, the last week, we had a STEM week where they had different workshops to develop or to transform their proposals into something tangible that could actually be presented to the community. And that's how we wrap up the whole project with community presentations and a great turnout for both the students, the community, and all the audience that came.
As a passionate organizer and environmental advocate, Isi shed some light on why she believes locally led climate action is essential.
It is important to be clear about where the responsibility of climate change lies. Sometimes we forgot or simply don't know about the large scale things. There's 100 fossil fuel producers that are responsible for around 71% of the global industrial greenhouse gas emission. Since 1988, 57% of emissions can be traced back to 25 companies, including ExxonMobil, Shell, BP, Chevron, etc. So I think it's important to keep that in mind when we're working locally, in the way that locally led climate action is essential, but not because it replaces the need for a systemic change. It contributes to it in a smaller scale, but it also makes climate solutions real, they also make it just and grounded to people's life locally. Working in a small scale with your local community can truly be an opportunity to have all the people's voices heard and bring their concerns and worries and ideas to the table. But at the same time, it can help to strengthen social ties, build trust, and increase our ability to look after one another.
Thank you for tuning in to Climate and Community. If you'd like to learn about ways to get involved in local climate solutions, visit a Climate to Thrive's website at aclimatetothrive.org.
This has been Climate and Community with a Climate to Thrive, Thursdays at 8:30 a.m. Thanks for listening.